Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
In the responsorial psalm, today we heard the psalmist say that the just rejoice and exalt before God. They are glad and rejoice. Psalm 68, verse 3. And one of the main reasons that the just are so happy to be in God's presence is because of his goodness. And that's the divine attribute that we're going to reflect on today, God's goodness. In the beginning, when he created all things, God himself called creation good. We see that in Genesis chapter 1. Then after he had made man, God said that creation was actually very good, Genesis 1, 31. So there's goodness in the effect, which is creation, because there's goodness in the cause, who is God himself. And there's a difference between what's called ontological goodness and moral goodness. Ontological goodness refers to being. So all creatures are good ontologically. All creatures are good in the fact that they exist and that they come from God. Existence is a good. It's a good thing. It's a blessing. It's a grace. Even the demons and the souls of the damned are ontologically good. Problem is that they're not morally good. That's the problem. They're lacking a goodness which they ought to have, moral goodness. And so that's why they are so miserable. The Greek philosopher Plato said that the good or the idea of the good is the highest form. He says that the good is, it's a bit like the sun. You can't look directly at the sun, but it's because of the sun and because of the light from the sun that you can basically see everything else. And the sun gives life to all things, to all living things. Without the sun, living things would die. The good is like that, says Plato. It's an intelligible reality that you can't see, so it's not material. But it helps you to understand everything else, and it gives life or existence to everything else. Plato says that the good is the cause of all the other forms and the explanation of the rational order of the universe itself. So there are similarities between the highest form for Plato, which is the good, and God himself, who is the supreme good. God is first of all ontologically good. He's good because he's perfectly conformed to his own nature. His will is perfectly and infinitely happy in loving and enjoying himself as the supreme good. God needs no one and nothing outside of himself for his beatitude. St. Augustine says that the Blessed Trinity is, quote, the supreme good discerned by purified minds, says St. Augustine. So to understand that the Trinity is the highest good is already a sign that there's a light on up here somewhere. There's a light on up in our intelligence somewhere. And it's already a sign that God has purified our minds, at least to some extent. God is also morally good, too. His moral goodness comes from that ontological goodness. God is morally good because his will is perfectly united to his essence. Saint Bonaventure says this. He says, because God is good, he wants to diffuse or share himself. And since he wants to diffuse himself, he wants to produce the creature. And since he wants to produce the creature, he wants the creature to exist. In this way, we exist because God is good, says the seraphic doctor. And once God chose to create, his holiness demanded that he take care of his creation, and that he want for them, that he want for us, essentially what is good and only what is good. God is morally good because he is kind, he's benevolent, he's generous, he's compassionate, he's caring. And he loves gratuitously and in a disinterested way. Gratuitously meaning freely, he doesn't actually owe us anything. And disinterestedly means that he's not looking to get something out of us or take advantage of us. He's looking to give, not to receive. We'll hear that in Wednesday's first reading as well, when Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. We'll hear that in Acts 20, verse 35. God's moral goodness can be defined as, quote, the constant will of God to offer good and only good to his creatures. So we ask, well, why does God command us to do some things and command us not to do other things? Why can we do this but we can't do that? Because some things are good for us and some things aren't. Very simply stated. The psalmist says this, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. The Lord is good to all, compassionate to all his creatures." Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The goodness of God is infinite in himself. In creatures, in us, it's finite, meaning that it's limited. Why? Because by definition, a creature can't contain all of God's goodness. It can't contain the divine essence. How much goodness God wants to communicate to us depends on his own free will. It's his choice whether he gives us one talent or two talents or five talents, to borrow from one of Jesus' parables. It's God's choice. So how do we apply this attribute of God's goodness to our own lives? Well, something that we've often mentioned is that God wants us to focus on his goodness. He wants us to focus on his good side. Being all good, God actually doesn't have a bad side. So sometimes we have a bad side. God doesn't have any bad sides. He's all good, but he is just, and he does punish sinners. However, as his beloved children, God wants us to see and focus on his goodness, focus on his mercy, on his love, on his understanding, on his patience, on his kindness, all those good things that he is in himself and also towards us as well. God is good towards us, and he wants us to focus on that goodness. At the same time, however, God wants us to hate what he hates. God wants us to hate evil and sin. The maxim is love the sinner, hate the sin, right? If someone's engaging in behavior that's sinful, you can't affirm them. You cannot affirm them or approve of that behavior. You know, we know this kind of by instinct. Is a father showing love towards his son? If his son is a thief and he never tells his son that stealing's wrong, is that actually loving toward the son? Of course not. Same thing if I have a friend who engages in sinful behavior and I never tell them that what they're doing is wrong in God's eyes, not really much of a friend to that person. So if I have a friend who's engaging in, for example, sexual immorality or who's homosexual and engaging in that behavior, if I express approval of that behavior, I'm not loving that person at all. Expressing approval in any way for somebody's sin, it could be a sign that we are people pleasers, maybe, or it could be a sign that maybe our minds are simply more conformed to the world than they are to Jesus, than they are to being conformed to Christ. Admonishing or correcting the sinner is a spiritual work of mercy, and it's the loving thing to do. And knowing when to do that and when to be silent, that's a question of prudence. So it's not as if we have to always go around correcting everyone and everything. We don't always have to do that. But affirming someone in their sin is not reflecting the goodness of God, because God hates evil. With that being said, nonetheless, God wants us, again, to learn to focus on what is good. In spite of all the evil around us, in spite of the evil inside of us, too. The apostle says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, he says, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. Translation, learn to focus on what is good in life, not focusing on what is bad. We need to address and correct, when possible, the things that are wrong, but we also need to focus on the good. Focusing on the good is healthy for us, and it helps us to grow spiritually. Lastly, just like you become what you love, you actually become that thing. So too, we can say that you become what you focus on. If you focus on what is good, you'll become good, and you'll do what is good as well. The apostle says in Galatians 6, verse 10, brethren, while we have time, let us do good. So if you want to do good, how do we do that? Very simply, practice the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, as we've said many times before. By doing good, by practicing virtue, you will become more good and more virtuous. In short, you will become more like God, who is goodness himself and is the source of all good. So let's ask Our Lady again for the grace to focus on the good side of the Lord, to reflect his goodness to others, even at the cost of becoming unpopular, because we stand up for the truth, even at that cost. Remembering the words of our Lord when he said, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven," Jesus said. "For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.